You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We have a fun show for you today with Father Sean Raftus. His story is even being considered for a movie by Warner Brothers, so you can say, I heard it first, right here on Mary's Touch.
That's right, Sherry, and I met Father Sean while I was in Helena, Montana, and while there I heard a great story of friendship, and this was Father Sean and some super friends of his. And there are so many aspects of friendships, and this one is unique. And I think that it really offers us a new understanding of the bonds that come and the love that is shared and the pure joy of really and truly seeing what Jesus talked about when he asked us to love one another even as he loves us.
Oh, let's welcome Father Sean Raftus to Mary's Touch and ask him about his story of friendship. Welcome, Father Sean, to Mary's Touch.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be on the show on Mary's Touch. I really appreciate it, Father. And Sherry, it's great to be with you and great to speak to you about friendship and this tag game that my friends and I have been involved in over 25 years.
Well, now, wait a minute. What tag game for 25 years? I want details.
Okay. Well, in high school, we all went to high school in Spokane at Gonzaga Prep. And during recess, we would oftentimes, being juniors and being juvenile, we decided to play tag during recess. And we'd be kind of running through the halls occasionally. And, the last one who was tagged before recess ended was it for the rest of the day. Well, at the end of our high school career, a buddy of mine, Joe Tomberry, was it at the end of the year. So he was going to be it for life. And yeah, poor Joe, you know, he's the butt. We oftentimes give Joe a bad time, make fun of him in a good natured way. But, you know, after 10 years, you know, people were getting married. You know, myself, I was getting ready to enter to study to be a priest. You know, people were having families. And so we started to lose touch a little bit. And so we got together, myself and 9 other friends, and we thought, hey, maybe we should resurrect the tag game. And so a friend of mine, Patrick Schulteis, who is a lawyer, drew up a several-page tag participation agreement. And basically, it involved all of us. We signed a contract, and there are 3 rules that apply. We were going to play tag for the whole month of February, from the stroke of midnight on February 1 till the stroke of midnight on the last day of February. The game was on, and there were no geographical restrictions. And there were no tag backs, and if I asked you if you're it, you need to answer truthfully and reasonably prompt. And so it is basically the game has kind of spanned the globe. People have made cross-country trips getting ready to tag the other guy. And the main part of it, though, the golden thread is like you mentioned before about holy friendship and Christ telling us to love one another. And that is friendship, not only with friendship. We have friendship in Christ Jesus, but we're part of the mystical body of Christ on earth. And, you know, that this friendship that we've been developing has been growing over the last 26 years. And it's just a signification that God's love doesn't end, that we continue the friendship. And it's just a good way for us, when we make the tag, to go out and have dinner or lunch and to just see how each other, how we're all doing at this stage in our lives. And it's just been a wonderful way for us to literally keep in touch.
You have done a magnificent thing here in creating something that really bonds you, brings you together, and keeps that thread always there. Like you said, so many people are really, really close, and they make plans when they think that, you know, we're going to be bosom buddies forever and ever. And I tell you what, let's all get together at least, you know, every 6 months or once a year, and then they don't do it. I am guilty of that. I've had friendships, like when I was on active duty military, I just assumed at that time I would know those people for the rest of my life. And other than two or three, I have lost contact with all of them. So did you come up with this idea other than the Gonzaga schooling? I understand that. But somehow when you graduate and you go off, did you all go to the same college after high school?
No, and that's actually a great question. And first of all, Father, thank you for your service to our country. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And secondly, yeah, we all went to different colleges. I mean, a couple of friends would go to, like, University of Washington, and two friends went to Santa Clara, and I went to the University of Idaho and to Gonzaga. And so the only time we'd really see each other was on Christmas break or sometime maybe during the summer. It was getting more and more infrequent that we'd see one another, and that was, I think, probably the impetus for the bringing back of the tag game.
This is unique, and I think that, they're very fortunate, and of course I'm prejudiced here, that they have one of the 10 being a priest. You can relate this friendship into that love which we're all called upon to share, and one in which we tend to, there's an old song, and that song has a lot of hidden meanings in it, and it is something to the effect of, when I'm not with the one that I love the one that I'm with.
That's right.
I'm glad you weren't my boyfriend.
Right. Well, it has a deeper meaning, Sherry, than... But we do need to form these relationships as we go through life. And one of the most difficult things is to keep it. Thomas Jefferson wrote more letters, reportedly, than just about any person ever written down in history, or written about, I should say, because we know of his letter writing. And there are others. I know that, there have been a couple of saints that were basically in a hermitage or living the hermetic life, and there they are. And we found out later they wrote all of these marvelous letters. There's one woman in particular I can think of who was basically in a wheelchair all of her life, but she had taken it upon herself that she would write to those who were in prison because our Lord said, I was in prison and you visited me.
Absolutely. And also, you know, it's interesting how St. Paul, of course, the epistles are part of the New Testament, and St.
Right.
Paul would write to the new churches at Corinth or in Ephesus, and he would always want to keep in touch with his brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, you know, of course, there are saints like St. Ignatius who wrote many, many letters that are still extant. And so, you know, they talk about holy friendship. Well, that's a very important, just like prayer.
Right.
We need to talk to God every day. We have texting, you know, we have that. It's so important to keep the lines of communication open. Obviously, the most important is with our Lord, but also being part of the body of Christ, being able to just keep in touch with others and keep the friendship alive and wonderful. It's a wonderful part of our faith, and it's part of the true and the good and the beautiful that our Lord gives us, because he himself is the good and the true and the beautiful.
Oh, and just think how many people did this without email.
Yeah, and then, they're writing by hand.
I was going to say, actually, it was probably better than instead of just one or two sentences. I personally have been blessed. I have one 50-year-old friendship. And and then three others who are like 35 to 38-year-old friendships. And what I find that's so beautiful, my 50-year-old friendship, we went to college together and attended Mass every day together and know what's happened to us. You know, she knows my history. I know hers. And there's something very special when you talk with a friend, and sometimes it won't be for a very long time, but the saying is you pick up where you left off. But having that history together, we can get, I'd say, very deep with each other, you know, that we can speak our truth. And it's so important to have somebody like that in your life as a friend, not, you know, and you consider them family, but you know you can call upon them at any time, just as I imagine your 9 friends. Father Sean, if you were needed a friend and had to make a call, you have 9 other people that you could dial up.
You're absolutely right. It's such a great gift. Like you talk about a 50-year friendship with your friend from college. It's a great gift. And you're like, you know the context of their lives. And I don't just, they're, you know, some I'm more close to than others, but they're, you know, during the year I'll give, you know, a few of them a call. So, you know, I'll keep in very regular touch. And, you know, it's good to seek their counsel. It's good to be able to, you know, those works of mercy in terms of helping anybody who's in doubt, either myself or them, or just trying to encourage one another to live, you know, try to live the best we can, you know, under the rubric, under the standard of the cross. So mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
We hear a lot of talk these days about transparency, and a close friendship is transparent, and you don't have to worry like you do when you go to, let's say, a 50-year high school reunion, and, you know, at the 50th, you're not trying to impress anyone except the fact that you're still alive.
Right. That you made it there.
Right.
Hallelujah.
But when you're going to, you go to your 5th high school reunion, and everybody is worried about how they look, what they've achieved, what they're doing, and, you know, look at me, see my ego. And then all of that disappears. But with these long-term friendships like you have with 9 other men, grown people like yourself, playing tag. How neat.
It's wonderful. So I know your friends, some of them live close, and so they tag somebody, and that person becomes, quote, it. And on the last minute of February, whether it's the 28th or 29th at 12 o'clock, who's ever the last one stays it for the year, and nobody wants to be it, as you said, for a year. So then afterwards, do you, do you get together and have meals all together? And what is it besides just being it? Or can you tell us some of the wild things that happen? I saw a video about what you did, and I think there was somebody in a trunk. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of them. The first one, it was in around 1992, and I was it. And I wanted to go tag a buddy of mine. And so I flew down on a Saturday from Seattle to San Jose, got in a buddy of mine's and Mikey's Honda Accord, 2 blocks away from Joey T's place. I wanted to get Joe. I hopped into the trunk, and Mike was going to tell Joe about his new set of golf clubs. So I stayed in the trunk, which is an interesting experience. And as soon as the trunk opened, I jumped out and got Joe. And, you know, that's the last thing you expect or hope to see is a hand coming out of a trunk. So it's pretty startling, but we figured, hey, we have to go to great lengths in order to tag somebody and to surprise them. And then people, you know, have a buddy of mine just last year dressed up as the Gonzaga Bulldog mascot, went into a Gonzaga University basketball game and got into the costume and tagged my buddy BD. So, and then week or so, on the last day of February, my friend Chris dressed up like a UPS guy, got a clipboard and lured Brian outside of his house and tagged him. So it can take many manifestations, and it's a pretty creative how some of the brothers get.
And this very serious tagging only occurs during this 1 month of the year.
Yes, it's the whole month of February, and there are no geographic restrictions, and the clock ticks the whole time, so you never know who's going to be around the corner. So, you know, you feel like a deer or elk in honey season.
Well, you feel like you have a target on the back of your shirt, right? The entire
and
month.
And your front, yeah.
I bet you guys just go around looking over your shoulder, and do you find yourself becoming a nervous wreck as the month goes on?
You do, especially as the month draws near to a close. You're like, you know, you don't think about the regular things you do. You know, you're pulling into your garage and wondering whether somebody who's it is going to sneak in as your door is closing, or, you know, if another friend is in cahoots with the guy who's it and getting ready to. It's like, you know, the machinations can be like a Cold War spy epic, you know.
Well, you know, Father Sean, this may be a little far out, but what occurred to me in thinking of your particular story with your nine friends and this great game of tag is, what if not only during that one month of the year, each and every one of us started living our lives as though we didn't know exactly when we were going to encounter Jesus, and
right,
who might tap us on the shoulder and ask us something, and, you know, we turn and our response would depend upon whether or not Jesus was guiding our thoughts and our actions. And how would the world suddenly change if we felt that presence so vividly, so deeply that, well, I don't want to make us nervous wrecks. I want it to be a love experience, you know, where,
right.
Where we want to be that person. But anyhow, whenever you 10 guys get together and lift a glass in, to one another, do you ever think about that?
Yeah, well, I do. And I think, you know, I remember we were on CBS Sunday Morning a couple of years ago, and it was great because they filmed us saying grace before dinner. And, you know, it reminds us of the fact, I'm looking right now at a very beautiful painting of the Last Supper, and it reminds us that whenever there's friendship, it's like where two or three are gathered in my name, Christ, you're gathered in his name, he's present. So we know that Christ is present in us. But you're right, we always have to be ready to, it's like that, you know, we have to be ready to give a reason for our faith. And in a way, you know, as a friend of mine actually did a homily, and he said, we're all, quote unquote, it, in terms of being a brother and sister in Christ. And whether we're going to be tapped on the shoulder to be able to witness to the faith, or, you know, give an account for our lives, I mean, we all need to be, and especially during this time of Lent right now, to be aware of Christ's presence in one another and in ourselves. And and part of that friendship, you know, having friends is a beautiful manifestation of Christ's presence in us.
Well, with that thought, let's take a quick break and listen to this week's Faith and Freedom Minute, and then we'll be back with Father Sean Raftus as he tells us more about faithful friends and what a treasure they are to him and possibly now to all of us. We'll be back in a minute.
Sherry, I would like to introduce all of our radio listeners to one of my brother knights in the Knights of Columbus, Doug Oldmixon.
In the 2015 case that erroneously found same-sex marriage to be a protected constitutional right, Justice Scalia wrote, "This practice of constitutional revision by an unelected committee of nine, always accompanied, as it is today, by extravagant praise of liberty, robs the people of the most important liberty they asserted in the Declaration of Independence and won in the Revolution of 1776, that is, the freedom to govern themselves." Not since Roe v. Wade in 1973 has the Supreme Court so brazenly created a right that nowhere appears in the text or context of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. As Catholics and as Knights of Columbus, we will work to restore a more authentic social policy through the legislative branch as our Constitution envisions. Will you join us?
We're back with Father Sean Raftus, and he's telling us about what is now a very famous tag game after being on Sunday Morning News. And I think sometimes, I know my friends have been like life-saving medicine to me at some time. And Father Sean, I'm sure this has happened to you also among this group of 10. where when one of you hurts, you all hurt, or when one of you has something to celebrate, you all celebrate. And tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, what a gift you have.
Well, thank you, Sherry. You're absolutely right. You know, during the course of our lives, different friends of mine in this group, I've lost both my parents in my 20s, my mother and father, who I love very, very much, and who taught me countless lessons about love and the faith and sacrifice. And then, you know, like Joe has lost his father and mother. And so when you have to, and Mike has, and Patrick has, and when you face death, these are tragic times. But there's also, it's like in the preface to the Eucharistic prayer in the rite of Christian funerals, it's life is changed, not ended, but we've all been there for one another, to be able to go to funerals, to be able to comfort one another, to just be there for one another. And also being part of weddings, the joyful events of life. It's just nice to be there in good times and in bad, and then sadness and in great times of joy. So we've all really kind of leaned on one another, and we all know that it's very special because they're very loyal men. They're good brothers and good friends. And, you know, if ever I need anything, I can call Brian or Joe or Chris or Bill or any other of the friends, or Mark. As a matter of fact, one of the tag brothers of mine, and we were in the first day of first grade at St. Francis of Assisi, sitting in the same table. We were very good friends, Mark and I, and we've basically, you know, lived our lives together and shared the faith, and really living out friendship is it's a yes to God, I think. It's just like the Blessed Mother's fiat, you know, at the Annunciation. And I think we've all been there for one another, and we will continue to be there for one another as well. It's one of the great humbling experiences of my life, is this great gift of being able to keep in touch with my friends. And it's something I don't deserve, that it's just part of God's gratuitous goodness.
You all went to a Catholic school, prep school.
Yes, sounds like a prep in Spokane.
And I presume that you're all still Catholics.
Yes, all practicing Catholics, yes.
And you have become the ordained member of the tag team. So have you had the privilege of being the administrator of the sacraments to any of the members of the team?
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, most of them had been married, gotten married before I became a priest. So, you know, I've been able to give them the summit of the sacraments, the Eucharist. So a lot of them, you know, I've either said Mass for them privately or at my parish, or throughout the years, wherever I've been assigned, it's been a great joy to be able to celebrate Mass with them and to share the Eucharist and, you know, for us to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So it's been within the context of Holy Mass where I've had the most sacramental encounters with them.
And I know that means so much to all of you. And it,
indeed.
There is something that is so, the words kind of fail me whenever it comes down to it, because the honor is so great in being at the altar, and the fear is so great. I have one friend who told me one time, he says, you know, one of my biggest fears is that someday I'm going to be up there at the altar and I'm going to be holding up the sacrament, you know, for the congregation to see, and all of a sudden this voice is going to say, this guy's a phony, he's a fake, he doesn't deserve to be here. And he says, I just feel so inadequate, and so I shouldn't be doing this. God chose the wrong one.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and that's where the words, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but
yes,
only say the words and my soul shall be healed. Father, none of us didn't merit to be a priest. I didn't deserve to be a priest. We're called. It's not a matter of deserving, it's a matter of being called by our Lord. And it's another signification of the gratuitous love, that our Lord's never going to be outdone in his generosity. And it's a mystery, you know. It's like St. John Paul II wrote that book about the priesthood, Gift and Mystery. Indeed, it is a mystery, but it's, you know, one we kneel before and are grateful that we're priests. It is a great honor and a very grave responsibility, one that I take seriously, but it's such a remarkable gift.
Well, friendship is sort of like one of those things. Do we deserve? And we don't deserve any of the things that we have, probably. But, you know, that's up to the giving God, our loving, giving God, who has bestowed all of this. And it always reminds me of the man who was being interviewed for the job. And the interviewer said, well, I think you'd be fine for this position, and I'm going to offer you the job. Now, he said, how about salary? And so the man said, well, what do you think? And the guy says, well, how about if we simply pay you what you deserve? And the man said, oh, gee, I don't think I could live on that.
Exactly. I'm wondering if Warner Brothers perhaps should listen to Mary's Touch and what you have shared with us before they make your movie, because you have shown us the importance and the beauty and the holiness of having friends, you know, right from your first day in first grade when your friend sat next to you, and how much you love him as you do your other friends and can call upon them at any time. And my sincere hope is that the beauty of your friendships and the holiness will be portrayed as much as you jumping out of a trunk of a car.
Well, thank you. No, I please keep it in your prayers, and I really appreciate you mentioning that. The article, actually, the story broke in the New York Times. The Wall Street Journal. Russell Adams had written the principal article, and he did a beautiful job. And that's what started it all, was Russell Adams' article in the Journal. And I just prayed when I knew it was coming out that it would glorify God in some way. And it would actually be a representation, that anything would come out of it would be a representation of the goodness and the holiness of the, you know, brotherly love of friends. And I really appreciate it, and would appreciate it if you kept the project in your prayers, because it has been a process for the last few years, and a project which is, you know, they've invested quite a bit of interest in this project. So I just hope it's all for the greater glory of God.
Oh, we will definitely keep you in our prayers, and we just want to thank you for reminding us how important friendships are and how healthy they are to our lives. And I know as we wrap up, we want to thank Doug Olmixon of the Knights of Columbus for his Faith and Freedom Minute. And I want to always remind everyone to go to our website at marystouch.org for links and information about the story that we had today. And Father Jim, your last thoughts and blessing.
Last thoughts are, I believe Jesus on the cross offering us forgiveness. And what comes to mind are the words of Christ to each and every one of us. Greater love hath no one than he should lay down his life for his friends. May the friendship of our Lord and Savior Jesus come and bless each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.